Come on, we worshiping all night tonight. So I hope you're comfortable. Come on, let me hear you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God as we rejoice today. This is the day God has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for this midweek virtual Bible study. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. We thank God that his mercies are new every morning. I declare and decree over every life who's listening tonight that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of God forever. In the name of Jesus, the favor of God is following you, and the favor of God is on you. So we thank God for his favor and his grace in the name of Jesus. Last week, we talked about the grace of Almighty God, and there's so many times that we see in our own lives and in the lives of others the grace of God operating, the grace of God at work. I was telling my wife, I saw a relative tonight, and I'm so proud of this particular person, how they have literally turned their life around. They are a believer, and I believe that God is doing a work within, and we're seeing that outward work. In the name of Jesus, come on, somebody. It ain't over until God says it's over. Many people don't know who they are, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the power of knowing who you are. Come on. The power of knowing who you are. The enemy's job is to trick us and to deceive us. Paul writes to the church at Galatians, and he says, who, listen to the wording, who bewitched you? In other words, who put witchcraft on you? Who got you out of the will of God? Who deceived you? And to be honest with you, we're all, if we don't put on our, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but if we don't put on our armor daily, if we don't recognize, amen, that we got to be prepared for this world in which we are living, that's dealing with the power of knowing who you are. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, as you add to our confidence and add to our assurance and add to our arsenal tonight of knowing who we are, not in and of ourselves, but knowing who we are in you. Knowing who we are in you will make all the difference in this thing called life. Now, God, minister to us tonight. Speak through your word, God. In the name of Jesus, we need a word. Yes, from your Logos word, we need revelation. We need illumination. We need enlightenment, discernment and wisdom and knowledge. Yes, may it increase tonight in the name of Jesus. So have your way, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you're if you're with us tonight, turn your Bible to the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter number 13. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Numbers, chapter number 13 is a chapter about when God gave Moses instructions to send out the spies into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And Moses did so, but we're going to read some verses coming from this 13th chapter because many of them did not get into the promised land because they really didn't know who they were in God. So the power of knowing who we are, I'm not just talking about the power of knowing who we are of ourselves, but knowing who we are in God. So I may not, you know, use that phrase, but that's the key right there. That I can do all things, what? Through Christ, who strengthens me. What does the Bible say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Listen to the language. Through God. Come on, somebody. This is why we got to understand, you know, when not just because we're pastors, but when we say come to church and come to Bible study and come to prayer and get as much word as you can in you, because we recognize many of us have had a past. Sometimes I reflect on my past. I'm 53 years of age. I'll be 54 this year, but I didn't become a believer until I was age 30. And so much garbage went in at that point of age 30. So much darkness went in. So many bad habits were developed. So much ungodliness came into my life in that season. And God is saying to you and I can undo all things. I can undo everything. But there's a process. There's a purpose. There's a pruning. There's a purging. There's a way. Pastor talked about it on Sunday, how don't just look good on the outside, but if the enemy continues to clog up our inside, just like that well was clogged up, water was springing forth. Isaac discovered water. We need water to live, water to drink. But they clogged up the water with dirt and soil. And that's a metaphor. Sometimes we let people throw dirt on us. We let people put water on our fire. We let rumors and people's opinions of us derail us and distract us. And God says, no more. After tonight, we're going to know who we are in God. To God be the glory. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1. I pray you are there. Pray that you have a pen and paper as we take notes tonight. Numbers 13:1 says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. God told Moses specifically, I'm sending them to a place that I have already given them. Are you with me? Every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness to Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Let's paint the picture. They're in the wilderness. Pastor Rebecca wrote a book, Don't Die in the Wilderness. They're in the wilderness where there are no natural resources. It's a desert place. It's hot. It really is not a place where things live and things can be produced. But the Bible says, just a sidebar right quick as we go into this lesson, even though the sand was hot, even though they was in a remote place, even though they was in a desert land, it said that their sandals did not wear out. I don't know who that's for tonight. So sometimes we don't know how God do what he do, but God is always up to something. Even when we don't recognize him being at work, he's keeping our used cars on the road. He's allowing us to look good even in the clothes that we wear over and over and over again. He'll sustain our looks. I was talking to someone at work today, and this brother going to be 64 years of age, and I said, you don't look 64. He said, the Lord preserved my looks. God did it. God will make you look young. God will prevent you from getting wrinkles and too many gray hairs. God will keep you in shape. The Spirit of the living God can do every and anything. It said when Moses came to the end of his life, he was a strong man. His eyes were not even dim. Moses was in great health. And that's for somebody tonight, that when we stay connected to God, he will preserve us. He will make stuff last. God will do the impossible in our lives. I've seen it and I witnessed it for myself. But he tells Moses to send out these 12 spies. Mind you, they're the leaders of the children of Israel. They are leaders being sent out into this promised land. Verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, until the wilderness of Paran. Now they came back to the wilderness after spying out the land for 40 days. And Kadesh, they brought back the word unto them and into all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless, help us God, the people be strong that dwell there in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites and all those Ites in the land. They said, the people there are strong. The walls are fortified. The walls in the cities are strong. It said that the giants of Anak are there, and all the enemies of God's people are there, the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and all those other Ites. They gave about five reasons and excuses why they could not possess this land that God said to Moses, I had already given them. Come on, somebody. When God says we can do something, we can do it. If he tells you you're going to get your degree, you're going to get it. Maybe not at age 30, maybe not at age 20, maybe not in your 50s, but if you keep it moving, you will graduate in your 60s. Come on. It's never too late with God. Yes. Caleb was 80 years old when he said, I'm just as strong as I am when I got a word that God gave us the land. Caleb and Joshua had to wait. But Caleb said, I'm still able to go in and get the promise. This why I don't get up. You know, I used to beat myself up that I lost time and that I could be further and why isn't it happening now and how did I lose what I lost and all this why. And God says, no, you're not looking through spiritual eyes. I'm in control. Help us, God. God is in control of your destiny. God is allowing Romans 8:28 to come together in your life. All things working together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Yeah. I got fired from one job. I said I got fired from one job, but I saw in my life at that age, when one door closes, another door is about to open. Glory be to God. I said when God allows one door to close, another door will be made open for you. A window, something's going to open up. He says, I open doors that no man can shut. Is not this the year of the open door? Hallelujah. This is the year to get that job. This is the year to make that career move. This is the year to go into ministry and fulfill your purpose. This is the year to go get that rental property. This is the year to go back and enroll back in school. This is the year to start the business. Do it now, beloved. They said, we are, no, I'm going to keep reading. I'm not going to say what they said. Let's read what they said. Verse 30. And Caleb stirred the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Caleb said, let's not do all this thinking. Let's not talk ourselves out of what God's trying to talk us into. Let's not allow doubt and double-mindedness and fear and unbelief to come in. He said, let us go at once. Because sometimes people are God, and we don't do it when God says move. Sometimes we'll miss out on our blessing. Remember the paralyzed man at Bethesda, John chapter 5?
Yeah.
He said he was paralyzed for 38 years. The blind was there. The lame was there. The cripple was there. The paralytic was there. All the people who were handicapped and disabled was at this miracle water, this miracle pool. And he told Jesus when he walked by, when Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? This man told Jesus, being laid in that condition for 38 years, he said, when the angel comes down and stirs up the water and trouble the water, we know that the first one in the water is the one that gets the miracle. But every time I'm on my way to get into the water, someone beats me into the water. Jesus. And Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? It's not about who's first. It's not about who's last. It's not about who's ahead of us or who got there first. God is no respecter of person. There's a blessing with your name on it. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I said, there is a blessing with your name on it. Caleb said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Put a pin right there. Put a pin right there. And go with me very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. My God, God has so much that he wants us to achieve and accomplish in life. And I tell you, my wife and I, when I met her, she was a very ambitious woman. Sometimes I hear her preach, and she'll tell the people of God how she had low self-esteem. But when I sit, I chuckle sometimes because she didn't have low self-esteem in every area. Maybe when it came to certain ambitions. But she, when it came to relationships, she knew full well what she would tolerate and what she would take and what she would not put up with. I wasn't going to play no games with my wife when I met her. She wasn't the one. She ain't think that low of herself to let anybody just walk over her. But I understand when she tries to make that point of low self-esteem, because some people don't feel good about themselves in any area of life, whether it's their looks, whether it's their smarts, whether it's their abilities. Because low self-esteem come in many packages. But sometimes I chuckle when I hear her give that testimony. Because she told me, no uncertain terms, I ain't the one. Come to me correct, bro, man. And we married 21 years later this year. We thank God for each other. Amen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1, Paul writes to the church of Corinthians. And it's amazing how he used what we just read in Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to go back to Numbers 14. I'm going to just go back and forth to kind of make a few points tonight before we get off the air. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the same cloud, and all passed through the same sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat or food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the rock, the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. My God. It says, God brought them out of slavery, out of bondage, from Pharaoh, took them into the Red Sea, and they crossed the Red Sea. Paul writes and says, guess what? They all experienced the same miracle of crossing the Red Sea. They all ate the same manna, the supernatural spiritual food which came from heaven. They all drank water out of the rock that God allowed water to come out of. They all witnessed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire cloud by night, and they followed that cloud as God led them. It said they all, help me God, they all had the same spiritual opportunity, the same spiritual exposure, the same opportunities from God, the same word that Moses gave them all. But verse 5 says, but God was not pleased with many of them. Help us, God. As I look at the body of Christ today, we need to pray. We need help. Pastor and I, you know, when we came up, the church that we came up in, it was thriving. It was always something happening. We saw God moving every week. Every time somebody was giving a testimony, a praise report, somebody was getting married, somebody was having a baby, somebody was purchasing a store, somebody was becoming a first-time millionaire. Not just prosperity, but people were getting off of drugs. People were putting down alcohol. Y'all heard our testimony. People were doing things. That happened while we were at that church, how we laid down that alcohol. We were under that church, under that kind of anointing, where God said, stop drinking. And we witnessed, and we had friends, and we know details about how God was moving in people's lives. And he still wants to do that today. Oh, my God. I'm going to preach about that a little bit on Sunday. God wants to demonstrate. God wants us to experience him. God wants us to know him in a deep and more profound way. This is why I'm talking tonight about the power of knowing who we are. We are King's kids. Pastor Rebecca, we had a little children's ministry when we was on First Street, and she came up with this title for our children's church and the kids in that ministry. She said they're the King's kids. And we had a little T-shirt with the King's kids on there, Kingdom Kids. And that phrase just stuck with the kids. They loved it. But here it says God was not pleased with them. I'm not going to keep reading, but you can keep reading in your spare time. We're going to talk a little more maybe about that on Sunday, what and how they displeased God. But right now, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go back to Numbers in a minute, but we're seeing how the Old and New Testament, that's why I like Bible study. We're seeing how the book fits together. How not just in our day we're preaching this Bible, people saying, oh, that book is outdated. That Bible 2,000 years old. Guess what? Paul referred to stories before his time. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth about something that happened in the days of Moses. Amen, somebody. And I thank God that we have the Bible. We have the Holy Scriptures. We have the written word of God to help us. But look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed who enter into that rest. I'm going to stop right there. God tried to show them through miracles who he was. But they had a certain mindset that was almost impossible to penetrate. They had a slave mentality. Oh my God. They had a slave mentality. That's why Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He said they all had the same spiritual food. They all experienced the same miracles. They all saw God moving in a mighty way. They saw the hand of God protecting them every time they got in trouble. They saw that God was for them, but yet they had a mindset. They let their thoughts, the way they think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. You are what you think. Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. The power of knowing who we are, we are what we think. This is why I want to talk, you know, my wife and I, when we got together, we first became friends. We're still best friends today. But we had a wonderful friendship. We used to talk about a lot of different stuff, sit in the car, her car, or my vehicle, just talking for hours about a lot of different topics. And we were good friends. That friendship turned into a relationship, and it was a great, good relationship. That relationship turned into an engagement and a courtship. Come on, somebody. and it was a solid courtship. Was it perfect? No. But that courtship and that relationship turned into a wonderful marriage. Amen, somebody. And some people still today fool themselves. Glory be to God. Fool themselves by believing the friendship wasn't good. The relationship is not good. The engagement is not good. And what makes you think that the marriage is going to be good? Help us, God. And that's how the devil deceives us. That's how he tricks us. He sets us up. So some things are so obvious. And we still miss it. This is why we need God. I'm sorry. I tell my, you know, me and my manager talk a lot, and I say, I don't know how people exist today without God. I don't know how people cannot go to church and hear a word that would start off their week. I don't know how someone in today's world can just go day to day without prayer. I can't see it. I can't fathom it. I need my wife to speak into my life. She needs me to speak into her life. I need the word. I need prayer. Come on, people. Amen. We need to look at this Bible study tonight. We need the Holy Scriptures. We need the prophetic word and prophecy over our lives. We need greater wisdom than we had on yesterday. We need discernment because somebody's always trying to get one over on us. There's a day of intense fraud. There's such a fraudulent world in which we live. And we think we can live this life without God? No, sir. No, ma'am. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need really the greater one on the inside of us than he that is in this world. And God was not pleased with them because he showed them. No, let's oh, glory. Go back to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Oh, man, this is helping me. If this ain't helping you, it's helping me. Because God has called me and my wife to do a great work. And I know it's beyond us. It's beyond our ability. Sometimes it's beyond our knowledge. Some things will remain a mystery. But if God called us to it, he will bring us to it and bring us through it. Amen, somebody. New Creation Church have been birthed in the earth realm to last. New Creation Church is here to make a difference in the earth realm. New Creation Church was a spiritual thought, an idea, ideology, given to me and my wife, and now 10 years later, it's still, come on, being demonstrated. It's still alive and kicking. It's still going, like that energized bunny keeps going and going and going. To God be the glory. But let's look at what they did and how they displeased God. Numbers 14, look at verse number 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation and the chosen of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were all with them who searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the chosen of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, as an exceeding good land, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not yourselves against the Lord, neither fear the people that are in the land. Listen to what Caleb and Joshua are saying. For they are like bread for us. Oh, my God. And their defenses have departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Can you just, I probably need to spend the rest of the night right there in verse 9. Numbers 14, verse number 9 says this, only rebel not yourself against the Lord. There's so many people outside of the will of God. People have told, you know, Pastor Rebecca and myself how they've been called to our church and called to help us and called to be a part of what we are doing in the earth realm. But yet, even today, we don't see those people. I believe they're out of the will of God. God is saying, when we rebel, when we disobey, when we go against his will, that's something that gives him reason not to be pleased with us. It said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those that come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. These people, even though God gave them clear instruction to go in and possess the land, which I've already given you, Caleb and Joshua tried to talk sense into them. Listen to the next verse. Neither fear you the people that's in the land. They say, we see giants, we see all the ites, we see the children of Anak, and they have put fear in us. We are afraid. They put the fear in us. And Caleb and Joshua said, don't fear the people that are in the land. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear is a stopper and a blocker, because God has not given us that spirit. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. I'm doing things today that I never thought I could do. I said, me, Anthony, married for over 20 years. I said, I'll be 30 years employed with my company next month. Me, having drank in over 20 years, used to get high and drink as a normal way of life and lifestyle for many a year. To God be the glory. God is just awesome. God is just awesome. He did something mighty in my life, and he'll do something mighty in your life. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we know. That's the God that we love. Yeah. He wants to do a great work in and through us, and we thank God for it. It says that they had fear. They were afraid of the people. And verse 9 says this, they're like bread for us. In other words, we can eat them alive. And their defenses have departed from them. In other words, they are defenseless, because if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to understand the power of knowing who we are. The passion that you hear in my voice, because sometimes I see it and it breaks my heart. Sometimes people, they saying one thing and doing something else. That's all of us. If you keep reading 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, it goes on to talk about temptation. He said God will make a way of escape. All those people, all those things that they did, he said, doesn't matter. For all of us are going to be tempted. I don't care who you are, the pastor, the bishop, the elder, we all going to be tempted with temptation. None of us are exempt. And with that temptation, God will always make a way of escape when we know who we are in him. We can't do this by ourselves. We got to be encouraged to know that we can do the impossible. We got to be encouraged to know that all things are possible for those of us who believe. Amen, somebody. Amen. God is a good God. Yes, he is. Let's see some people in the Bible who knew who they were. Let's look at Philip in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Philip in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter number 8. This is after Pentecost came. They all spoke in tongues. They all received power from the Holy Ghost. And Acts chapter number 8, verse number 5, we're looking at one of the apostles, Philip. And let's see the demonstration, because he knew who he was in God. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. God wants to demonstrate his power through us. It said they witnessed the miracles that Philip did, so they listened and gave heed to what he was saying. For unclean spirits, verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with the palsy, meaning they were paralyzed, and that were lamed, they were healed. And there was a great joy in the city. Philip was doing a great work by himself because he knew who he was in God. Yes, they went out two by two. Yes, two are better than one. But Philip did these great exploits by himself because he knew who he was in God. Amen. It said he performed miracles, the paralyzed walk. Those who were possessed with demons got them demons cast out. He said unclean spirits left people and cried out. And all that was through Philip. Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Here's a contrast. The power of knowing who you are, that's why I had to add, in God. Because this man, Simon, was doing great things. He was bewitching the people. He was using sorcery and magic. He was doing supernatural things. And people were amazed. And they looked at him as a great man or a great source. Because guess what? He knew who he was. To trick so many people and to have that kind of ability to win people over, he knew who he was, but he did not know who he was in God yet. Look at verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Wow. He didn't say he was the great power of God. They said he was the great power of God. And he didn't refute it. He just took it. But listen to verse number 11. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. In other words, it said from the greatest to the least of them looked up to this guy as a man of God, because he did this sorcery so good for so long. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon knew he was missing something. Then Simon himself believed also. Help us, God. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. We'll stop there. Here it is, Philip. The church is growing. People are believing. He's evangelizing, talking about Jesus. Simon, this sorcerer, now is a believer. And here comes now Peter and John to join the ranks. So he sees more miracles, more demonstration from God. We read this on last week. He see God doing great exploits, and he saw even the laying on of hands, how people were healed. And he made a grave mistake trying to offer money for a supernatural gift. There's some things that you can't buy with money. And one of those things is God's anointing. You can't purchase that. You got to receive it. Oh, glory be to God. That's something you can't purchase like going to Walmart and having it rung up. God gives that to us freely. That anointing is supernatural, and it's a gift from God. Simon made a mistake, offered the disciples money. They rebuked him. They spoke a curse over his life. He got scared, repented, and got back right with God and the body of Christ. He did finally realize who he was in God. He did great things outside of God, and that's the world in which we are living. There are so many people who are doing so many great things outside of God. If we can tell the truth, we're looking at Donald Trump, who became president. Guess what? I don't care what anybody think about him. It is very hard to become president of these United States of America. It is almost impossible to become president of the United States of America. And he did it outside of God. So we can do great things, or people can do great things outside of the will of God. Y'all remember in Genesis chapter 11, they was building a tower to Babel, the Tower of Babel, I can't even pronounce it, B-A-B-E-L, the Tower of Babel.
Yes, that's right.
And they built this thing. And God had to come down and confuse their language, because he said, man can do anything that they put their mind to. My God. He says nothing. I need to see how he worded it. Go to Genesis chapter 11. I don't want to misquote it. Genesis chapter 11. I want to see how the Bible worded it. Pastor Rebecca preached about this when she talked about Abraham's father. His father's name was Terah, and how Terah died and Abraham went from that point on. But the Tower of Babel, look at Genesis chapter number 11. The whole earth was one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain of land. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and let us build a tower up to God. And the Lord came down to see the city of the tower in which the children built. Look at verse 6. That's what I want. I didn't want to misquote it. Verse number 6 is what I want to just make a point on. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now, nothing, somebody say nothing. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. He said, nothing will be restrained from them, which they had imagined to do. He said, if they can imagine it, they can do it. If they can see it, they can become it. If they can think it, they can make it happen. That is the human nature of man and mankind. So God has given man the ability to do great things outside of him, but they're outside of the will of God. And God is telling you and I, when we know who we are in him, we'll stay put. We'll stay connected. We'll stay tied in to God, and we'll bear much fruit. Go back to Numbers 14 now. Back to Numbers 14. Hallelujah. God wanted them so to get this land. God so to come out of slavery and just eat of the fruit of what he had destined for them. But look at verse number 24. Verse number 24. But my servant, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land to possess it. It says Joshua, I'm sure Joshua may have had doubt. He might have been scared just like the other people. Joshua obviously saw the giants. He saw the walled cities. He saw all the enemies of God in that land. But God, I mean, Moses writes here in Numbers and says, Caleb and Joshua had another spirit. They fully followed me. And now I'm going to take them into the land to possess it. You see why sometimes when there's a mad exodus, we all can't just leave. We all can't just back up from God. We, you know, people, I hear the statistics. I heard a preacher Friday night said church attendance is down and the decrease in church attendance and da-da-da-da-da statistics. Guess what? I'm staying connected. I made up my mind. I have a made up mind. For Christ I live, and for Christ I'm gonna die. Wow. This time last year I was taking chemotherapy. My God. No more chemo. No more radiation. No more cancer. No more surgeries. Come on, somebody. I know who I am in God. That's my testimony. And I know you got a testimony. But if God be for you, glory be to God. I'm a cancer survivor by the mercies and grace of Almighty God. That's why I know who I am in him. I'm not bragging in and of myself. If it had not been for the Lord who's been on my side, where would I be? You know, I'm going to close out, but when I was in that hospital, I had about 5 to 6 or 7 different roommates. And about 4 or 5 of them simply told me, I see your faith. And it's pretty impressive. You know, some pastors came and prayed. My wife always came. She prayed. We always talked scripture. Sometimes we prayed for my roommate. And they said, I see your faith. And I see how your God is helping you. Now that I'm home and back to my normal life, you know, I don't know their outcome. I never kept in touch with them. But some of them was in, believe it or not, they were in worse condition than I was, some of them. And the God in which I serve got me out of that predicament. When we know who we are in God, he will get us out of any and everything that is not pleasing to him. So know who you are tonight, but more importantly, know who you are in God. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you tonight for the people of God who know who they are in you. Sickness and disease, any kind of generational curse or stronghold, familiar spirits and bad habits. Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? And I say nothing. So as we leave this Bible study tonight and never your presence, be with your people tonight, God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And let the church say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I pray you are blessed tonight. Meet us on Sunday if you're in this New Jersey area, 1482 Maple Avenue. That's our church location. It's a beautiful edifice, a beautiful building. I will be ministering the word on Sunday. It's going to be a powerful service. We had children's church on last week. The kids love it. Pastor Rebecca preached. That word is on our website. That word is on Facebook. Please send that send that video and that word to somebody else who you know needs it, because it will bless whoever sees that word from Sunday coming from New Creation Pulpit. But pray for us. We thank God for your faithful giving. Continue to sow into our ministry. We thank all of those of you who have sown, that you'll continue to sow. $10, $20, any amount. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too large. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, anything will be well appreciated. If you go to nccmonline.org, hit that donate button. We will receive that offering. Amen. To God be the glory. Well, we love you. God bless you. And good night, everyone. God bless.